38 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Friday morning. Good morning if you've just joined us. You're on The Morning Show, coming to you live from the Lifestyle Center in Ballito. And, of course, we're broadcasting live from the Lifestyle Center. With me in the studio, the lovely Lindy Elms, joined by Amy Panikowski. That's a lovely Polish name. Is it Polish?
It's very Polish.
Oh, well, do you do the polka? Polka?
I do not.
Okay, well, never mind. I wasn't going to ask you to show us anyway. And it's radio, so no one would see. We're talking wildlife rescue regularly on a Friday. We do this. And Amy is a bat expert. And Lindy, we were discussing last week how important it is to create awareness of, well, all creatures, great and small, and the predicaments that they may find themselves in when people and creatures come together. There's always a bit of a conflict. Bats get a particularly bad rap. I think traditionally there are superstitions around bats. Oh, they're bad things, harbingers of evil, you know, witches and demons, and you know, it's the old Halloween imagery of darkness. And I suppose there's, if you watch the old Bram Stoker movies and things, yeah, they're always synonymous with strange things. And they are strange creatures. They are very, well, I love them. I've got to nail my colors to the mast here. I find them absolutely fascinating, but not everyone is of the opinion that they are beneficial in any way, shape, and form. But we're hoping to change that with our conversation this morning. So welcome to you both, and particularly Amy, who has a passion for bats.
Thank you, Dave.
How did this begin?
Thanks so much, Dave, and thanks, Lindy, for having me. I got into bats by accident. I'm also a snake catcher. I live in Oshawa, and I've been working with snakes for quite some time. And because of a consult with snakes, I ended up being a bat taxi, moving bats from one rehabber to another sanctuary rehabber. And in that time, and I saw these little things, and I thought, how do you do this? What? I've seen bats, but I've never had a chance to interact with bats. And that's how I got involved with the Bat Interest Group of KwaZulu-Natal in 2019, and have been with them ever since. I am now co-chair of the organization. It's the oldest bat interest group in the continent, 31 years. And just last year, when bat season started, Lindy got a hold of me, and Lindy's been our first responder in Ballito whenever there's a bat here. So it's been an eye-opening experience, right?
Been an amazing experience. And also just, I have such a love for them now, just seeing what they're about and working with them and understanding them. They're fascinating.
Shall we just dispel some of the myths around bats? Because there are many, as I alluded to in the beginning. And it's not just about the superstition. I mean, some people believe that bats in, not the belfry in this instance, but in the ceiling, possibly are unhygienic or spreaders of some kind of diseases or mites, or is this nonsense or is it true?
It's absolutely nonsense, and this is one of the things that our bat group tries to dispel, is this misinformation. Bats are very clean, so they spend a lot of time grooming and socializing when they're in the roost. You can't fly if you're dirty. So think about a plane. A plane that always has to have its wings cleaned before it takes off, right? Well, the same with bats. They have to be very clean in order to fly effectively, to do the foraging that they need to do. They're unlike other animals that will build nests like birds or rats, bats don't do that. They occupy structures. They don't bring in any extra stuff. So they occupy those structures. They're looking for the right temperatures and humidity for those roofs. And then they gather there. And they're very polite with their excrement. They urinate very little in the roost, and they evacuate on their way out. And so while they're flying, that's when most of the business is done.
Okay.
And then also their guano is quite powdery, and it doesn't have a smell. It only gets a smell if it's wet. So if you do smell something, it's actually that you have a leak in your roof. It's not the bats.
Ah, so in fact, they could be doing you a service and letting you know that there's a problem with your structure.
Exactly.
Now, we have various different species of bat in the Ballito region. I'm sure this is common to many places. We're very fortunate in that regard, that if you look up at the night sky and you see the little tiny, beautiful creatures fly, and consider that they are mammals. It's almost like thinking about a warm-blooded furry creature that can fly. It's brilliant.
It's the only mammal that has true flight,
and they fly exquisitely, and they use echolocation to avoid. It's just a brilliant thing. But then you notice that there are bigger bats, and they are not just the mommies and daddies of the little ones. No, it's a different species. And then you get the really big, almost the flying fox kind of fruit bat that is magnificent beyond any speaking of it. A kind of russet color and astonishing to watch them navigate their way through even the densest of foliage to get out and about. And then we have a huge grove, if you like, of trees and bamboo, and they come shooting out of our neighbor's roof through this dense. I mean, they don't. You think they can't fit through that entanglement, but they manage.
So one of the amazing things about bats is that we're always learning. Every time you think you've got a handle on something, you realize how much you don't know. There are more than 1,400 species of bat in the world.
Wow!
There are more than 200 species of bats on the continent of Africa. There are, I've lost my count. I think it's 69 different species in South Africa. And in KZN, we've got about 45, 46. And that changes every time we learn something new. There was just a paper put out recently about a new species described in Equatorial Guinea that I just saw this morning. So we are constantly learning about new species. And we've got quite a bit in KZN that we have to contend with. And we do have our usual suspects that we work with, and then others we get some really interesting ones that might come into care sometimes, or people see them. But we are very blessed with some really wonderful and very important species in this province.
Now let's talk a little bit more about some of the myths, which are, I suppose, part of the reason that people are scared of bats. Some people still believe that bats get caught in your hair. Why would a bat get caught in your hair?
I know.
For what reason?
Well, they just won't. I know people have been told their whole lives that they are special, but I wish bats would come and get in my hair, but none of us are that special. And what it comes down to is this misunderstanding. You know, when we see birds during the day, they are flying and it looks pretty, like they've got a purpose and a symmetry of where they're going. Bats are moving and turning and twisting to get that, to get those insects that you can't see. So it might actually be someone like the warmth from your head, and you've got insects flying above you, and they're trying to get those. They're not coming for you.
So there is a perception based on, I suppose, activity. Now, you talk about insects. Are all, because clearly they're not, but I'm asking the question for illustration. Bats eat insects?
Yes, some...
Not exclusively.
Not exclusively.
There are bats that eat fruit.
Yes. And there's bats that eat nectar.
Oh.
So we've got really important pollinators. We would not have tequila, Dave, if it wasn't for bats.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
So the agave is pollinated by bats?
Yes.
Who knew?
And there's bats that can eat tons of insects in a night. And if we didn't have that, our food insecurity will be even greater than what it is now. There are over 500 kinds of fruits and other plants that rely on bats for pollination. So think about our coffee. If we didn't have pest control management, we didn't have our seed dispersers and the like, I would be suffering, as many would be, without coffee. So think about it.
Now I've heard of people finding bats in banana flowers.
The leaves.
Why do they go?
Well, that is a sheltered roost.
They're not eating the bananas.
No. That's a little insect bat. It's about 4 grams. We call it a banana bat because it lives in the bananas. They've got oversized thumb pads on the wrist. And that's their little area that they feel comfortable. And I've got one in my garden that I affectionately call Batrick. And I follow him. I look for the leaf furls. I'm like, I bet he's in there. And I go and I take photos of him.
But, oh, wow.
So you can find them.
So bats can almost get used to people. And
well,
they don't like people.
No, they don't like people. And he tolerates me taking photos. But it's not all the time. But we coexist together. We've been coexisting with bats for millennia. So they're always around us, even if we don't see them.
You made a very interesting point about the number of insects that bats eat. And I think it's something to bear in mind that when you look at the number of mosquitoes that hatch from a body of standing water on a nightly or a daily basis, if all of those mosquitoes survived, there's not enough doom on the planet to protect you from the assault. How many, you mentioned a number, it was an incredible number. Why don't you repeat that? How many insects are eaten?
So there can roughly be tons eaten in a night. Like the Mexican free-tailed bat can eat tons in a night if you've got a nice large roost. But by and large, insect-eating bats can eat up to 75% to 100% of their body weight in insects a night. And if you're a pregnant bat, you're definitely eating up to 100% of your body weight a night.
And most of those insects are, well, not most, I suppose it's fair to say, a large number would be the pests that one would be really adversely affected by had it not been for the bats' presence, particularly mosquitoes. And in malaria areas, I would imagine the bats are doing life-saving work.
Absolutely. And then it's not only those, there's different species eat different things. So we've got bats that eat scorpions and centipedes.
Wow.
We've got some of our bats really help our macadamia farmers because they eat the green stink bug that devastates macadamia trees.
So
we have some bats in Latin America that eat fish.
Oh.
There's so much diversity out there. It's absolutely incredible.
Now, because this is a wildlife rescue chapter, I know for a fact that even in our little environment in Belito, there have been calls to come and help. I found a bat on the ground. It's a young one, it looks like, and it needs... Oh, my cat brought in a bat. How does that happen? But I'm sure it does.
It does.
What does one do because people are nervous to... Do bats carry rabies?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you brought that up. So... In the Americas, yes, there have been cases of bats with rabies. South Africa, we're very fortunate that any bat that we have suspected of an issue that's been tested at the University of Pretoria, not a one has come back with classic rabies.
So you'd be safe if you were to handle the bat and accidentally got a nip. You're not going to die a terrible death.
The chances are very, very low. However, we still do err on the side of caution because the worst thing that can happen for bats is somebody gets sick. And we never want that to happen. So we always advocate for using a cloth to pick them up. But that's more also to help the bat protect the bat from you.
Okay.
Because we can actually pass on sicknesses to them and when they're stressed. And an injured bat is also a very bitey bat. And we want to avoid injury. So we ask people to gently use a cloth to cover them. That makes them feel secure, and it keeps everybody safe. And it makes the bat, so you know how they cover eyes with buck. This is sort of the same principle.
Do they also get stress-related, like white muscle that affects the antelope?
Yeah, they get very stressed, and then that makes them immunocompromised. Okay. And so then we just want to make sure that we're trying to prevent a lot of that from happening, because sometimes it's just the bat gets grounded and we can actually help people remotely get them back in the air. If it's in Belito, if we get we have an emergency WhatsApp line for bats KZN, and if it's in Belito, I usually contact Lindy straight away. I'm like, okay, can you come and connect with this person? Or Lindy will get the call and she will let me know, this is what's happening. Okay. Let me know what kind of support you need. And then we walk through it. So, we just ask people that if you do find a bat on the ground, you can contact our emergency WhatsApp line or you can contact Lindy. And you carefully, with a clean cloth, not a dirty cloth, just a clean tea towel, envelop that bat, put it in a box, cover, make sure that box is secure because they are ninjas and they can't get out of things the size of your thumb, depending on the species. And also don't equate small with baby. Babies look very different from adult bats. If they've got fur, if it was flying, it's an independent animal. If it's naked, looks like a baby, is completely helpless, and we've got to go through some pretty good protocols to try to reunite with mom, hopefully. And then if not, then we need to get to a rehabber for raising.
Okay. Another question I wanted to ask you. Occasionally bats get inside a room or a building. Yeah. And they're trying to get out.
Yeah.
And I don't think people want to help them to get out. I don't think we want to necessarily, you know, harm them in any way, hopefully. What is the best way to help a bat to escape from a room?
Well, the first thing is not to panic. Some people just absolutely panic. Panic helps no one. All you need to do is if you can close off that room to the rest of the house. You do that, you open up any windows or doors to the outside. Dim the lights, because if it's flying around, it's echolocating, it's trying to figure out where it is. It might have just been chasing an insect and got up and had a mistake. So, and then just sit on the ground quietly and just wait. And eventually it'll figure out where the exit point is and it'll go out. If it lands on a curtain, if it lands on the wall, you can do things like what we call the spider grab, where you take like a container and you cover the whole bat, and then you can slide something support underneath to put it in a box to take it outside, or you can take a cloth to carry it outside gently. You've got to be very careful with those wings because they're very delicate. They're just like our hands, our fingers, but with extra webbing. And then you can take it outside for release.
But I presume best not to touch it and just let it find its way out.
Yes, if it's flying, let it find its way out. So you just, cordon off that room, open up anything that goes to the outside, dim the lights, and be patient.
Fascinating conversation. We could talk all day, but time is always against us, unfortunately. I'm going to ask you to give a contact number or numbers because this will go up as a podcast. And if you're listening to this and wanting to have this information, which I think you should do, you can always pick it up on our dedicated apps or our website under The Morning Show. Look for the podcast. And you will then have the information. So how does one contact you?
Well, please don't ask me about numbers. I'll have to give them to you.
Okay. Well, maybe we never give Lindy's number.
Give Lindy's number.
Okay, so Wildlife Rescue is 083-607-4498. And any inquiries I get for bats, I always check with Amy. So, work very closely with BatsKZN. Hmm.
And we also have a Facebook page that also has our QR code to our emergency WhatsApp line. And that is dealt with in real time by rehabbers. If you find a grounded bat or an injured bat and you need assistance, we help you case by case on what to do. And that's either to help you find the nearest vet that will accept or to the nearest rehabber, depending on what's happening.
And there we leave it for today. Our very special guest, Amy Panikowski, who is the Bat Lady from...
Batty Lady.
The Bat Lady from Batty Lady, from Eshowe.
Yeah.
And Lindy Elms, our wildlife rescue superstar, in conversation on the morning show. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for joining us. Lindy, we'll be back again in a week's time for another update on how together we can make a positive difference, particularly when it comes to rescuing creatures in distress. And the morning show continues.